In 2019-20, governments spent $196 billion on welfare. Most of this came from the federal government, and it was inflated because of the pandemic, so it's a particularly vast amount. But every year is vast. The year before, it was $174 billion. And despite this, 13% of Australians live in poverty. And the way things are going, 500,000 children will grow up in this environment over the next decade. CEDA, the Committee for the Economic Development of Australia, wants to do something about this, and their approach hinges on data. Cassandra Windsor is their senior economist.
Governments collect huge amounts of data as part of their kind of everyday service provision. So that might be data from Medicare, it might be data from Centrelink, so those would be at federal level. At a state level, it might be data, say, in child protection or housing or the justice system. So we're collecting all this data. It's sitting kind of all over the place in different levels of government. And actually, if we link all that data together, what we can get is a really sophisticated picture of who is in poverty in Australia, who is disadvantaged, and what some of those pathways and risk factors are around working out how we can get people out of poverty and disadvantage. And when we do that, we can use that information to really design far more effective services and make sure we're getting to the right people and intervening early so that we get to people before they end up in a crisis situation.
Right. Okay. Can you give me an example or a hypothetical of how this would happen? Because as you say this, I'm thinking, but don't we know who the people in poverty are already? Because we roughly know the postcodes that are related with poverty, and we know the schools that are where kids who are in poverty are attending. We kind of already know those things, and I'm just wondering why this would be better.
Look, we know at a rough level, but actually we don't have a lot of detail around exactly who is in poverty and who's in those really entrenched disadvantaged situations where it's not just income poverty. There's other issues that make people disadvantaged as well. So they're really disconnected from those social and economic opportunities, and particularly around children. So a lot of the focus in our report is around children and making sure we can do that early intervention and getting to people early. Really has fantastic benefits throughout their lifetime. And so an example of this might be intervening with a family when the child is still very young, a family that potentially has some of those risk factors that we've seen through looking at the data tend to end up with children, say, entering the child protection system later on, or having interactions with, say, police when they're older. So by looking at this data and using this, we can actually help that family out and prevent those kind of crisis situations, whether it's child protection, whether it's police interventions down the track.
So it's sort of being able to say, oh, look, this family, we know from all this different data that this family's got issues, and maybe they could do with, or we know from this, that they could do with some perhaps help with things like drug and alcohol management or family therapy.
Yes, absolutely. Those sort of interventions. And we can target them really effectively when we use this data also to do research about, you know, what interventions are the most effective. We can look at that through the data. We can do some great research, and we can make sure the policies and the services that we're offering to people are the right ones and will actually help them out.
Now, what you're proposing goes a step further, actually, because connected to this and informed by it, obviously, you're also talking about using something called predictive analytics.
Yeah, so look, the predictive analytics is a really interesting space, and the research is showing there's a lot of benefits that could come from this sort of approach. So at the moment, we have a lot of services that are being provided to try and help people that are disadvantaged, but they're stretched really thin. And they generally, services are not provided until someone kind of puts their hand up and says, you know, I need some help, my family needs some help, or we get to one of those crisis situations where they do kind of end up needing to interact with child protection or police or justice. The predictive analytics is looking at the data using some machine learning and algorithms to work out who is likely to need services down the track and getting to them early. So it understands what the risk factors are in those families, but it also looks at what are the protective factors. So what are the factors that these families might have that we can build on and provide some services and help around that in order to get them out of these situations. So it's really what we call a we find you approach. So instead of waiting for someone to interact with, say, a social worker or someone else, a GP or something down the track, we can use the data to look at the families that are likely to need help and go to them before they put their hands up and say they need help.
Have to be nuanced about this, obviously, wouldn't you? I mean, because if you're talking about kind of knocking on someone's door or giving them a ring and they're kind of like, well, why are you here? It's an awkward conversation. We're here because our computer is telling us that you might be heading for trouble. You're not there yet.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the role of community engagement is really important here. So these wouldn't be huge, widespread programs. They would probably be very place-based. And you would get the community on board before you went out and started knocking on people's doors. And usually, so some of the examples we've had of this overseas, people have actually been given the option to opt out and not have their data analysed or get put into the programs. But if you talk to the community about the benefits and really engage people early on and get them on board, we've seen a lot of success in some of these programs overseas.
Yeah, I think several countries are doing parts of this. And the government did raise this a few years ago and acknowledged it was useful in New Zealand. Any movement on this side of the Tasman?
Look, there's a lot of talk about, you know, data integration more broadly and some of these programs. And the government is putting in place the kind of frameworks around this. So we are seeing, you know, there's some data sharing legislation coming through Parliament at the moment. There is a data strategy coming out. So we're starting to see a bit of momentum. And also that's at the federal level, also at the state level. So we are seeing data sharing at a state level as well. But we think we really just need to kind of push on with it and actually have some clear goals about what we want to achieve with the data and with data sharing. So just having the data together by itself, you know, it's great fun for researchers, but it doesn't necessarily lead us to that goal of reducing poverty and disadvantage. So that's why we think it's really important that we have a clear goal, we have an objective, and data is a tool that has been underutilised so far, and we think we can utilise it a lot better in order to meet these goals of reducing disadvantage.
It's a really interesting and ambitious report and proposals. Thank you very much for joining us on The Money today, Cassandra.
Fantastic. Thank you, Richard.
Cassandra Windsor from CEDA. And this is The Money with me, Richard Adey.